All right. I think we are back in.
Hey, hey.
I think so.
All right, we're good.
I said, hey, what's going on?
Hello to all the pretty ladies out in Radioland.
and that's who listens to the show, too, is definitely pretty ladies. Girls love Coaster Chat.
They do, yeah. The ladies flock to Coaster Chat. They come to this Dunmore and Source for coaster knowledge. For women out there.
He said there used to be another Coaster Chat, but that they don't do episodes anymore.
They don't, no. So we just took
They stopped in like 2016, 2017 or something. We've you kind of picked up where they
lost. Yeah.
Yeah, they were lame anyway. This is the real Coaster Chat at this point.
Yeah. We overtook them and just took their name and we catapulted with it basically. We took our own spin.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. That's how it is, but we're the number one Coaster Chat.
This is a brutal industry.
Yeah.
That's how it is. It really is.
And the roller coaster.
It's, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of ups and downs.
We got jokes too. Watch out.
We do. People. Yeah.
You know what? You know what I like about Coaster Chat? It's smart and it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah. It makes you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, there are a lot of, knowledge going into it, a lot of
you need to know physics, you need to know engineering in order to really enjoy every aspect of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to speak out of turn here, but my purpose for my visit here in LA is me and Avery just went to pitch the Coaster Chat TV show to HBO.
How'd the pitch go?
It went well. I think we're gonna have they're gonna green light the first three seasons.
Yeah, no,
okay, wow, three seasons.
Yeah.
Wow. Not even needing a pilot.
I said, you know, give me three or I'm walking.
Yeah. No, they enjoyed it. They liked their whole layout for the first season, how we're going like to bounce off the pilot and just
like we're gonna start with some of the classic coasters, but also there's gonna be like disjointed timelines. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay.
Modern shit.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah,
and we're like actually like bouncing off names of people that can be in it, like Guy Fieri, different kind of in that realm.
You know, you jump from like the first Russian. Obviously, we're starting with the Russian mountain in France, right? That's the pilot.
Of course.
You know, we kind of we shift back and forth in time to tell you know the thing about coasters is the more they change, the more they stay the same.
That's true. That's real. I think you could pair. The Russian mountain really nicely first episode, and then you go into an episode, you know, all about the current era of coasters, which is the era of the multi-launch coaster, the most modern, sleek, updated kind of coaster there really is, you know, which there are a lot of in Europe also, so that pairs very nicely. And then also,
to kind of stitch everything together, there's a lot of dream sequences.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We all dream of coasters here.
Falling.
A lot of, like dream montages of people like riding roller coasters with music playing in the back, like it keeps the story moving basically.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's kind of the glue.
Yeah, those are the purpose of our dream sequences than our roller coaster show.
Yeah, and that's like sometimes you could like someone would think up like a fantastical like fantasy coaster that couldn't actually exist.
Oh yeah.
Life. But in the dream world, anything is possible.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The Dream World gave us the lunch coaster, so really anything is possible.
Yeah.
A lunch coaster.
Yeah. It's a coaster you can have lunch on. Like
And lunch is eggs.
Every seat is like a diner counter with a stool.
Yeah, that's basically kind of what it was. Yeah, it was a mild ride for sure.
Rolling their eyes now that I'm coming in the first time relitigating the launch coaster as if it hasn't already been covered from every angle.
Oh, we've talked about it five times, I think, maybe six.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's a common topic.
A full like 20% of the episodes.
Yeah, it's too good of a topic not to bring up. You know, it's like we need to expand upon it and just like think more about the launch coaster and like how can we, like bring about it? Because maybe someone will do it someday.
Would you call the lunch coaster your thesis statement?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I think it's a statement for sure. It's a statement that anything can happen on a coaster, even the mundane. And so I think it sort of functions as an art piece beyond just being a ride. You know, it's much more than that. And I think that's the kind of high concept coaster concepts we could explore, you know, throughout the multiple seasons of Coaster Chat, as well as, you know, if, like we've mentioned so many times on the podcast, if Six Flags were to sort of give us the keys to the empire and let us really cook, we could really come up with some...
It'll be like, you know, it'll be good press for them too, obviously, because we'll talk about it on the podcast. But like, if we could just run Six Flags for a year.
Oh yeah, we would have that running great. I mean, number one, first easy obvious step that I say a lot is, rather than running from their identity as being a place where Latino families dump their children for the day, embrace that and just make it a fiesta all the time. They already have a park called Fiesta Texas, so I mean that's a great start. Let's get the fiesta in every park.
If people people like fiestas, that tests well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It tests well. Absolutely.
In the focus groups, they love the word fiesta. If you just put it on stuff, like it's just like it pops, and just like people like to be involved in a fiesta, you know?
Yeah, and yeah, I mean Six Flags, they made their name on, you know, really exciting new record-breaking thrill rides, and they've gotten away from that in favor of cheap rides, not maintaining them, you know, that kind of stuff, the cheap-ass way they've been doing. They're going to have to spend money to make money, but I think, you know, a coaster
one of the biggest things businesses need to understand is that you have to spend money to make money.
They don't get it. They really don't get it. They're spending their time,
putting in their Pennywise, you know,
prefabs and shit.
That's what Six Flags is nowadays. Uh-huh. Most of their rides are like breaking down on people and just like making parks close down for the day and shit. Like, there's that one in Jersey we've already talked about.
Oh, El Toro?
Yeah. I mean, that was
El Toro is probably out for the year. So the injury problems continue to mount for El Toro. I think a lot of people are wondering if they should have drafted someone else, but I mean, the good years they had with El Toro, it's like, yeah, now towards the end of his career, you know, he's kind of not running the same, but
he's only running out there 60 days a year, you know?
Yeah. It's a name, you know, it's a name that goes on the jersey that it sells and it brings people in. Yeah. Exactly.
His ass is in the seats, you know, that's what El Toro.
I mean, I've gone multiple times to Six Flags without being able to ride it, just, you know, knowing that it probably was going to be closed and just being like, well, I can look at it, you know? You can still look at it. Can't ride it, but you can look at it.
You know, and isn't that really just as good?
Yeah. That's just...
In some ways.
Don't we all agree that you get the point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get the idea.
Yeah, it's just how people like looking at trains as they go by, you know. It's just,
For me, being in line, a line like a queue where you're able to like see the coaster in operation, that's pretty good. I will definitely take that.
Yeah,
because you usually, if you're a responsible, you know, rider, you don't have your phone with you.
More popular in the coaster operations, a lever or a button?
It's all buttons now. The lever is a dying breed.
Oh man,
the lever is better though. They should replace the buttons with levers.
Well, yeah, the lever has like a, you know, a mechanical like friction to it that you can feel.
Yeah, they could just make a lever that basically just pushes a button underneath the board, but it still just like looks like a lever.
it's like a drinking bird.
Yeah, exactly. there are. I want to say there's a really number of old ones.
They make that up for The Simpsons.
No, the drinking bird is real. I've seen it's one, real, but yeah. I did originally wonder that because it doesn't seem like it could. Like, how does it do that? You know.
I guess that's what cohesion.
Mm-hmm.
That's cohesion.
That's cohesion.
That's a scientific term, right?
Folks, if you got AP biology tests coming up,
listen to this episode.
The tendency of water molecules to stick together, that's called cohesion.
That's right.
If you pass,
now could you make a cohesion toaster or a drinking bird style ride?
Like water, like a
it runs on water.
It's like it's like a plant based coat. It's like plant themed, and you're like the you're the water going up like the capillaries into the leaves.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. Like imagine like you can it's green, but you can kind of see out. That'd be cool, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be like a green tinted world outside your little window.
I think a lot of the problem with coasters is their reliance on low culture IPs instead of high art concepts like these.
All these great high concept ideas they have, and they just go like, oh, it's the Batman one where you're Batman.
Mm-hmm. That's stupid. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should like walk off a coaster and understand what it means to make art. There's a simulator ride at Disney, and it's like the most popular ride at Disney World at the moment. Okay. And apparently Jim Cameron is like has been brought on to retheme it to be more for the second movie than the first one. So I don't know how that works, but apparently they're just completely redoing it, and it's going to be like Avatar 2 Way of the Water stuff in it. So. I guess that's an advantage of the simulator is that it can be easily repurposed to be kind of something else. But I guess now instead of flying through the air, you're like going through the water or something. I'm not sure, but apparently it has like 3-hour waits consistently.
Yeah, because it involves a simulator. I'm just talking like a real like a coaster you would see at Six Flags or something like that. It doesn't involve like stuff like
the problem is the IP is under Disney's control, so
right, but
there's no way to do that.
But like a normal looking coaster at Disney World, not like a simulator, you know what I mean?
Maybe Disney is allergic to normal looking coasters, right? They have a company policy where they don't put in chain lift hills because Walt Disney thought that the sound of a chain lift hill on a coaster reminded people of carnivals and degenerates that kind of run and go to carnivals. And he didn't want that in his family park. That's literally true.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah. He was forward thinking. Yeah. Maybe he was.
It reminds me of the county fair, is what that reminds me of.
Yep. And despite the fact that he made the world's largest county fair, essentially, he hated them for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, hey, the state fair is classier than the county fair. The national fair.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone has their own kind of fair. To each their own.
Yeah. So here's a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Is there a coaster where you can take your wife or girlfriend and have sex with her?
Mm-hmm.
Not a coaster, but that's what the Tunnel of Love was for.
Okay.
So in the you know, really at the outset of those rides, basically a dark ride where you go through various tunnels in a boat that's like, I think, dragged by a chain or something usually. Mm-hmm. Or they keep the water moving enough for you to go along at like 1 mph. And through the tunnels, the idea was that teens could get away with stuff that they would be uncomfortable doing in public. And it was sort of understood by amusement parks that that was the point of the ride.
Okay.
And then they moved away from that in the 80s and 90s as the rides aged and tried to repurpose them either to be scary or to be family oriented. And in some cases, like the one at Kennywood, they actually rethemed it to be Garfield themed because they thought that would prevent teens from getting hand jobs on it because they wouldn't want Garfield to watch them. And like, there was like a sign or something at the beginning that was basically like Garfield is always watching you or something. They thought Garfield would be like the antidote to teen horniness, and I guess they were correct because I can't imagine that too many teens were having sex in Garfield's nightmare. Yeah, that ride is now no longer Garfield themed, so maybe teens can get back to it.
Yeah,
there should be a coaster where you're hanging from your ankles.
There should be.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it. You could absolutely do it.
Yeah,
you would just need to. You would not be able to do trains where people are trailing you, at least not close by, because of the swinging back and forth. And you need to have some sort of like bumper to stop them from smashing their head onto the track. But otherwise, I mean, assuming the track is above the ride.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that's feasible. I think you could do it, but it would be low capacity ride. You'd have a long line.
Imagine it's set up with the track under the ride and like a metal like swing set bar going over it that you hang from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait. So you're hanging, but what is like the train of sorts, like attached?
Tall, or else you'll smash your head on the track.
There's a height limit. Yeah, so you can't jump the entire time, and you're too tall.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna, like,
so it's sort of like there's two tracks and two like train apparatuses, and they're just moving, and you're like holding on.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Hold on for
dear
life. You're
just kind of like dear life. Yeah, that's kind of the thrill of it, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So if you let go, you're in danger. That's good.
Yeah.
Danger is
net.
Good.
Well, maybe there's a net you can draw. Yeah.
Okay. A net. Yeah.
Yeah, there should be a coaster where you push a guy off a building.
He falls into the coaster.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Or you think you're about to fall off
like
a building.
One of those, like Red Bull, like guy jumping into
a fluke top. Yeah, yeah.
Things.
Yeah.
Or that thing. Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty sick.
I had an idea for one, and I tried to make it a Planet Coaster, but it was too difficult on the PlayStation to really do it. But the idea is for the coaster, you're a turd and you're being flushed down the toilet.
Okay.
And then, like, in the end, it's like you follow a track that swirls around like a white porcelain bowl,
mm-hmm.
and then you splash down into water at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. It was very difficult to actually make, through, but it could be done.
You're going through, like, the S pipe and, like, the pipes?
Yeah, yeah. You go through the pipes, like, in like, a water path.
You start in the ass?
Well, yeah, ideally you'd start in an animatronic ass that shits you out into the bowl. That's the big drop.
Cars?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did try to make it, and I was the coaster type I used had like Viking ship cars was like the theme, and I just made them all brown, and they looked great. They looked like crusty dried turds. So I think it could work. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, like a freshly made turd. That's like a nice looking coaster.
Yeah, if you're like really not drinking enough water.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Like
speaking of coasters, do we want to talk about our roller coaster experience the other day, Avery?
Oh. I would say it's almost better than a roller coaster, or close to, or as good as a roller coaster.
It was.
We couldn't ride one this week, but
a belt-driven Otis people mover tram that took us up the hill at the Getty Center. It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been on that. I have that credit.
Okay. So we
that's sick.
Yeah,
you get good views on that.
Yeah, the monorail, the Getty Center.
Yeah.
Pretty cool ride for the most part. We couldn't ride it the first time up because
it was like
too crowded.
Yeah, it was like because the trains only come like every 10 minutes, so they're just like you people take. Mm-hmm. I wasn't gonna like argue, although we did wait in like the cold ass rain for like 30 minutes at the end of the day so we could take the tram back down.
Yeah, I mean, we checked it out towards the end of that day. We could not go back on the shuttle again.
Yeah.
Like we couldn't be denied a monorail ride. That was like the
no. You need to get on that people mover.
Exactly. It's the icing on the cake for a great day at the museum, you know. You need to ride down to the parking lot.
It's also a piece of art.
It is a piece of art.
Yeah. I do feel like it's very LA to make that a fancy monorail instead of what would be purpose, like usually built for that purpose, which is the funicular railway. And that they forewent that in favor of something that's clearly more expensive and probably, you know, more difficult.
It definitely seems
to
like
manage the computer system.
Everything
of
this thing was built to look as expensive as possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They really knocked that part out of the park, just like as extravagant as a museum as you can get. Just
all that fun,
all those pieces of art,
all that stock image money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where it went. That
all those photos you see online, it built the entire museum.
Every time I make a new profile pic, I gotta pay the Getty's $5.
Yeah. PW came full circle. Like, he uses all these Getty Center images, and now he came to the museum by the guy who started this image.
Oh, and I'm also gonna explicitly break the rule about not using my photos for commercial purposes. They're mine now.
Mm-hmm.
Come and get me.
There's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah. Fucking cocksuckers. Watch me make $110. Yeah. What are you going to do?
A few music picks. It could happen. It's possible. You never know. Took the right photos.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw some cool stuff, though.
Yeah, I know.
Amazing piece of art. Even outside was kind of cool. There was some like
It was really shitty weather, pieces, so we couldn't really walk around outside too much. Otherwise, that would have been really cool. Probably just as cool to walk around the outside place.
Mm-hmm.
And like the garden was closed, and there was like clouds, so you couldn't really see down into LA from like the where you were.
That classic LA smog. Yeah. I don't know if that's actually what that is, but yeah. I'm gonna blame it on that.
It's starting to look like Oregon over here. It's been raining like for a week and everything's like really lush and like coming out now, at least in terms of like just like the shrubs and stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Very pretty, yeah. Just like the small hills around here are like all green now. They're not just dried up and out everything.
Mm-hmm. It's not on fire. That's pretty cool. Fire.
Yeah. That's most important. It might be on fire mm-hmm. later, but we'll wait.
Yeah, it'll catch on fire later. Fire. It's not on fire right now, and you gotta savor the good times, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hold those memories with you when the mm-hmm. sun is red from the smoke from the wildfires.
Right. That's when it's really gonna hit.
Yeah.
But yeah. pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, a museum is kind of like a coaster for the mind.
It is.
I think you're absolutely. You know? I think you really hit on something here. I think you really hit on mm-hmm. something. Both museums and coasters with that statement. Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand, and I guess there is one example of them being combined, is why museums have not commissioned roller coasters more frequently. There was one at the Massachusetts Contemporary Arts Museum or something recently, where they had an installation from an artist that is a single rider, single rail coaster that runs one per hour, so the lowest capacity ride that has ever been built. And it was a part of some art installation based around amusement parks or something, but I think he was on to something there. If you could make now a better roller coaster that runs at a decent capacity and just operate it inside the museum.
A roller coaster that is free from the strictures of being a profitable business enterprise, which is created purely...
Exactly. It's just art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we're aiming to take the industry, folks. So yeah. Strap in.
Yeah.
HBO season 1, mm-hmm. 2024.
Yeah. Deal's already done.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be maybe.
The direct deposit already
yeah,
hit.
Yeah, already hit. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, well, they love the coasters.
The 10 million just hit my checking account. We're going to Doba for dinner.
Yeah. Park's open tonight. Yeah. Hitting the buffet in the morning. Oh, that's sweet, sweet HBO money.
Mm-hmm.
We love them.
Yeah, 10 million. I mean, 10 million, you could build a coaster of your own on that. Not a great one, but you could build a very like respectable wooden coaster with $10 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's what
you could build probably the best wooden coaster ever for 10 million.
I think that's what I'll do with it.
No.
Well, I mean, wooden coasters, that's why they're great. Cheap to construct, expensive to maintain, but you worry about that later. Just get it built. Get exactly. people on it.
You build, like, the amazing
It's all about
structure.
One sweet ride, then I don't care what happens to
yep.
it.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. A one-use coaster, disposable coaster. It cycles one time ever. And then it's deconstructed. Because if you only use the wood once, you could probably resell it for like a pretty good percentage. And like the whole venture might end up only being like a couple $1 million for one ride. And when you think about it, that's like pretty good.
You know what? There's worse ways you can spend.
Like $2 million to ride your own custom roller coaster one time. Like, I don't know. It's a little tempting, I have to say.
It's worth a shot, you know?
Yeah.
The single ride of the lunch coaster.
Yeah, yeah.
We're having eggs Benedict. The brunch uh-huh. coaster.
Yeah. Yeah, we spin it off. There's a brunch coaster.
We got some honeydew and some cantaloupe.
Oh wow! It'd be pretty funny to do the. What was funny about the dream in the first place is like I don't really like eggs, so it'd be very funny to ride
the
lunch coaster custom built,
yeah,
and then like not touch the food because I don't like it.
But the it's still a good drop, so it's still worth your ride.
Mm-hmm.
You go,
yeah, yeah. It's, And I want the lunch in front of me for the experience, but I'm not going to eat it.
Almost like a, it's, you know, it's like an airplane meal, just kind of a, you know,
something to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an added extra that comes for free.
Uh-huh. There's a steward who comes and brings you a cup of coffee.
Now that's an idea. A stewardess on the coaster. I love that. Yeah. I think that's a way to make coasters sexy again, is to bring in like the spirit of Pan Am in the early 60s, you know?
Stewardess in like a silver like jumpsuit.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and
coaster would
be able to like order drinks and like an in coaster movie.
My airplane crash coaster idea.
Mm-hmm.
The coaster that's a plane.
Which I think there's so much potential. First of all, because generally, like, it would be very expensive to do so, and it's not necessarily why people ride coasters. There is not really, to my knowledge, an enclosed coaster where you are inside like a fuselage and the wind is not blowing in your face and you're like, not, but like if it was, it would be scarier to experience that, and you can't even really see what's like in front of you.
Lights and the beeping like and shit.
But you like wait. The front row seat line is like you can wait in specially to go into the cockpit. And then like, you get to be the pilot who causes the disaster because you're the
throttle,
showing your co-pilot.
Doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, the controls don't do anything. But you sit in the front and, like, you can, you know, be like the pilots in classic mid-air collisions. Like, that one in Brazil where the pilot was showing his first officer pictures of his motorcycle before they collided. That's a great final thing to do in your life, is like bore somebody to tears showing them physical photos of your motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's like, and then the next 10 seconds you spend after that are screaming to God to forgive you.
Like, please don't bore you to death anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're screaming.
Like, it sucks for the first officer. He really just, he had not a good day that day. Mm-hmm. At least the captain got to you know, talk his shit a little bit.
Yeah, you got the last few words in.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, plane crashes are scary, and scary is the nature of coasters. So I think combining them is just natural.
Plane crashes are all about drops. Also,
they are. Yeah. And I think it's been enough time since 9/11 that we can go there. You know, like. Coaster, though you could, but
that's too avant-garde. They won't let you go there yet.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think they will, but you could allude to it. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's too niche. You know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think there's like you could take the exact path.
Yeah, like
that.
Like,
sometimes
it's like
they do
at 11 is the plan. That
yeah. Some of them, you know, do, like, when they are crashing, they invert several times as they're crashing. So you could do, like, a Rocky Mountain Construction-style dive loop as the way you're going down to simulate a tailspin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's like I said, I think this is, after the launch coaster, I think this is probably the next coaster we build.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the two e-ticket rides at the park, the... dueling mid-air collision coasters and the lunch coaster are really what brings people through the gates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to add on to like
businessmen on their lunch, and if you buy like you can get a pass to skip the line so that you have time to eat your lunch and get back to work.
yeah,
just it's a popular lunch spot.
It is. We turn things into like great lunch spot essentially.
Yeah.
People go there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how people
and the thing about Six
Dogs and stuff.
The thing about Six Flags is they're always super near other, you know, places where people work, and definitely not in fields in the middle of the shittiest part of whatever state they're in. It's very accessible to get to for lunch.
The downtown urban amusement park that we're building here. We're gonna. Like,
I mean, that would.
We're gonna.
That would be great.
We're gonna level like 15 city blocks.
That's
yeah.
I mean, like,
Look, it's expensive real estate, but
Scientology should do it all LA.
Yeah, all
that would be sick.
They should just have like small little coasters in each like spot in the city you can go to.
There's enough L. Ron Hubbard lore that you could definitely do a Scientology park based on his life.
Scientology coaster.
You could do like two.
You will do that.
Okay, so hear me out. Concept: two tickets, right? Like so, like Disneyland, and how there's also California Adventure. There's one park based on the life of L. Ron Hubbard, and then another park based on like the lore of Scientology and like Xenu and all that crazy shit. Okay. And you get people to pay twice to be able to experience the entire thing. It's got to be like a weekend, you know. You have a hotel where you can put e-meters in their rooms and record them and get blackmail on them so you can force them into Scientology, and then you get them to pay twice for the tickets.
Yeah. Like, exactly, like, you just burn them twice, you know? You get them, like, once, you get them, all that stuff, and then, like, sign up for both parks.
The Sea Org coaster?
Sea Org coaster.
Yeah. Sea Org water ride. Yeah, it's like a log flume.
You have to do chores.
Oh yeah, yeah. You will be putting in your work for the Church of Scientology when you're at the park. Yeah, I went to the L. Ron Hubbard House in D.C. the last time I was there. That's a great attraction. If you're looking for something to do in D.C. and you don't feel like making the trip out to Six Flags America, because that's one of the shittier Six Flags parks, coaster fans should check out the interactive walkthrough exhibit that is the L. Ron Hubbard House, where they have, you know, guides who are full members of the Church of Scientology, and basically the whole thing is a pitch to try to get you to join, and it's a fun test of will to, you know, fight back against their propaganda.
I don't know, whatever the words for bad people are in Scientology.
Yeah,
I didn't take in a lot, although I did love the part where they had the room dedicated to his childhood, and they had pictures of him when he was 3, when they claimed he became a full blood brother member of the Black Hawk tribe. That was pretty, or the Blackfoot tribe. Sorry, I don't want to slander Elrond there. They also claimed that he circumnavigated the globe at age 16. That was pretty cool. And definitely true. Yeah.
That's fact.
Yeah. He was a pilot. He captained a ship in World War II. You know, he really lived a great life. He was a great man.
Yeah.
At the Griffith Observatory, there was an exhibit about how you measure latitude with like a sextant and the stars. And so I think I could probably circumnavigate the globe.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Now, especially, you know, it's like with a few tanks of gas or whatever.
With the modern compasses they got.
Yeah. I could drive across the entire world no problem. Like, first of all, like, frozen shit up north, like, easy way to cheat, but I wouldn't even do that. Like, I could drive across the world's major oceans, no problem. I'm a good driver.
Yeah. We can figure it out. Like, most drivers would.
If you go fast enough, your car could, like, act like the Caspian Sea Monster hydrofoil that the Soviets developed, and I think you'd, like, levitate a little bit above the water. It'd be no problem. My Civic, I can do 120 in that, no problem. That's probably fast enough.
You can make it over, yeah. It's not gonna like
last. Yeah.
You need to get refilled with gas by like a ship.
Yeah, I would bring enough gas with me, like those pilots who I read about on an airline or airplane forum who crossed the Atlantic in a Cessna. They just like filled the back with gas canisters and like, I don't know, like refueled, like I don't fucking know how they did that, but somehow refueled themselves while flying. I don't fully understand how that works, but they flew across, like they flew from like Maine to Ireland in a Cessna. So it you know, crazier things have happened.
This is a challenge to our listeners to do this. This is a
circumnavigate the globe challenge,
please. Yeah, and you can come.
But the one rule is you're not allowed. You cannot board a. That's not allowed.
No flying, yeah.
You can fly, but you have to like pilot the thing you're flying yourself.
You have to
you gotta do it yourself. DIY.
Yeah. It'd be more impressive if this person was able to like walk or drive though. I would say that. You can walk or drive.
Yeah, walk. Walking would be a good move, I think, because you could, like, you know, you could, yeah, you could walk across the North Atlantic, probably.
Yeah.
Like, there's enough driftwood and shit out there.
Yeah, yeah. The in the Pacific, you got the garbage patch, so you just walk clean right over that.
Yeah. You got seals and stuff. You can walk on their.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, just kind of like a platformer game, like it's Mario or something, just jumping from sea life to sea life.
There's also, like, there's seagulls. You can jump up and grab onto them, and then that brings you forward a little bit.
If you're a bigger guy, you might need two seagulls to get you going. But, yeah, one or two should be
they're
fine
sharks
for most people.
You gotta bop them on the head to kill the sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Then they're gone. No problem.
But you, like, stand on their sharks and kind of, like, ride them.
You could ride a shark, yeah. I think so.
Taking it as your own and just, like, ride it around and stuff, like.
Crazier things have happened than a guy circumnavigating the globe on a shark.
It could happen.
What about this?
Mm-hmm.
A coaster where, it's underwater themed. Maybe you're not underwater, but somehow simulating, like, being under the sea.
Actually, that leads directly. I think I've talked about this on the pod before, but the another dream coaster I had was one that dives into the water and does actually, like, feel like it's submerging. And it's like a submersible where you can see out the front, but on the back it looks like it's see through, but it's actually an LED screen. And what you see in front of you is the train in front of you filling with water. So that it looks and like it like projects the image of them, so it looks like the people in front of you are drowning and dying, and that a similar fate will befall you in a matter of seconds. But then you get back into the station, and it's all over, and it's just a ride.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, thinking someone died.
There should be a coaster where, like, when you get off, a homeless guy like menaces you with a knife, but then he just says, "Oh, just kidding."
Yeah,
that's good. That's good.
It's like you go around a bank turn, and then the homeless guy's right there with a knife, and it's like, oh,
just
kidding, man.
Yeah,
part of the ride.
Just part of the ride. Part of the ride.
Just jokes. Yeah. Just joshing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the Market Frankford line on SEPTA coaster.
Yeah.
the homeless guy with a razor blade scalping someone else when you accidentally get on the express to Allegheny Station.
It's still working out. Like. That just like
SEPTA trains are kind of like an interactive dark ride experience that is survival horror themed.
Yeah, I'm picturing you get on, it's like Resident Evil in there.
You could incorporate various characters from my commute on SEPTA, like the guy who screams about the light and screams that, like, Allah and Muhammad and Jesus and the Jewish God, it's all the light. You have to understand, everything is the light. And just, like, screams at that volume.
He's spitting.
He's spitting. Yeah. He's spitting. The problem is he does it every single day, and he is pretty consistent with what he says. So I could definitely, like, sing along with him, basically, to his speech.
Well, you know, other people.
Yeah.
But that kind of consistency, that's what you need on a ride, you know? You need it to be the same for everybody, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be the same experience.
He's already ready to go.
And over again.
Don't even tell him that he works at the amusement park. Hey, just be like, your train's here.
How about a schizophrenia roller coaster?
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Everybody is plotting against you coaster.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like attractions that have working actors in character, like those haunted houses or haunted woods kind of things that come up around Halloween. I went to one this year, and there was a group in front of us that was, like, all special needs kids, and so they were moving really slowly, so, like, we a couple times, like, a zombie would come out and be like, hold on just a second, folks, we got some special needs people in front of you, you just need to wait for the experience to continue. It's like, is this a part of the ride? Like, is the group of Down syndrome kids a part of this? I don't know.
That's like the you know, kind of the people's amusement park is like the like the hayride, corn maze, house complex. Yep.
It had it all. We did. It was a hayride, and then there was a part that was like the like haunted pirate docks or something, and it was a bunch of like pirate zombie type characters popping out at you. But because of the slow group in front of us, the actors would have to like buy time. So like at one point they started like doing a jig because he just felt the need to entertain us because we were stuck there. But it was a very nice jig, and he did a good job. So you know, they really put their all into that.
Mazes are great. The people don't use like the maze in The Shining. How great is that?
Oh, it's a great maze. I would love to go through that.
You know, if you think about it, life is kind of a maze because you don't know which way to go.
You don't. You never do. But then you wander around for a few hours and then you're at the end of it and you're dead.
Maze coaster where you can choose like, various intersections.
Okay. Yeah.
So each ride could be different.
Yeah, like you'd have to have like the like you know how actual train tracks work, the track switchers. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But you can choose a different track. And it's like a theme to the course of your life.
Pull lever to like change to the left or the right.
Yeah.
And then like you go down one route and it's like this is the route where you like cheat on your wife with your secretary and your life falls apart and you just kind of chose wrong. And like at the end of the coaster, it like hands you a gun to kill yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then the other way is like the way where you instead go to your kid's ball game. But, you know, and he like hits a home run or something and you feel proud. And like, I don't know. Yeah. You just have different exits for people.
Choose your own adventure books anymore. What happened to that?
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading Choose Your Own Adventure books when I was a kid.
Choose Your Own Adventure shit is awesome. Yeah, they need to bring those back.
When the ADD was just like in there a little bit, you could still
you're still sort of reading, but not exactly. Yeah.
You know what I would do sometimes if I chose an adventure. What? I died. Sometimes I just go back and choose the other one.
That's cheating, as far as I'm concerned. I would close the book and that's it. I lost.
You can't re-dream, you know? You can't just, like...
No, it doesn't work like that. That's antithetical to the way the whole thing is supposed to work.
Yeah, it goes against it. Once you dream it, it's gone.
There are choose your own adventure video games. I played one and it was like, it was pretty good. Actually, I had a fun time playing it with Victoria, but it was basically you control these four or five characters who are like, going on some like scuba excursion or something to like look for a lost ship. And then you find it and you're like on board this ghost ship. But with one of the characters, I, had her resurface from the dive too quickly. And so she had the bends, but she wasn't fully dying of decompression sickness yet, and before she could die of decompression sickness, she was chopped in half by one of those like sliding ballast doors on a ship. So it was, I feel like that was very poetic. Like she would have died anyway, but she died very dramatically in a very gory way instead of the boring way of dying of decompression sickness.
Yeah, it's a real it's a pretty bold way to go out.
Yeah, you know, you don't get that from every video game, that kind of complex storytelling.
You really don't. That's just like life becoming
a video
game, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what people want to play. They want to play a game that is fully life. And they've tried to make that, and the closest they got was GTA 5, but we haven't really gotten closer than that. Actually, maybe GTA 4 is closer to life because you have like people hitting you up to hang out and you ignore them. Like your cousin wants to go bowling and you're like, "Ah, I don't really want to go bowling with my cousin." Mm-hmm. So you just crash cars and like smash into a guy and knock him off the George Washington Bridge instead.
I like just holding myself up in a like public space and seeing how many people I could shoot. So maybe later.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
At the gas station. Because machine where you can refill your health there.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm too busy doing an ISIS-style truck attack on the pedestrian walkway to go bowling with you right now.
Yeah, like, 1 second, please. Waco Siege.
Those games are great, but they're missing something, and I think it's the
how they're gonna make another one like and have it not just be like a boring rehash. I don't really.
It's gonna be a boring rehash, but you get to be a spicy Latina this time.
Yeah.
So, I think that's really all they got over there at Rockstar Studios. They're out of ideas. They've had to dig into the bucket of what if you're a sexy Latina.
You know what?
That was the last idea they had left.
They had a good run. All things come to an end.
They did. They had a good run. Yeah, everything does.
Hey, remember Tommy Vercetti, guys?
Oh, who could forget? That was representation to people like me.
It was.
But never before could a young Italian boy dream of being a scuzzy mobster.
Never could you dream of a driving around candy sucks.
So yeah,
I wasn't allowed to have Vice City.
Yeah,
fascist parents. Yeah, but I did play it at other kids' houses, of course.
So I think I was just old enough to have Vice City.
Okay,
because that would have been like 10 or 11, I guess.
Yeah.
Because that came out in 02, I think.
I think something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, no. When GTA 3 came out, though, that was like it was like nothing anyone had ever like seen before. Like, wow.
No. Yeah.
Wow, you can just murder people for fun. This rules.
Yeah.
Like me, I remember me and my older brother both like independently playing GTA 3 at like a friend's house and coming back mm-hmm. to each other. Like, there's this new game that's you just get to murder people. It's awesome.
I remember my friend like pitched it to me. I had never heard of it, and he was describing it, and we were playing like a different driving game, like Gran Turismo or something, and he was like, yeah, you can get out of the car.
Get this.
Which is, that is true. It's like a driving game where you can get out of the car, and then who knows what happens.
And then when you're done, if you kill the hooker, you get your money back.
That's mm-hmm. Could see something there, but that's all we've been talking about since PW gone to he's gone here. It's just different coasters,
yeah,
like these, well, like
In and
Out Coaster.
Well, I mean, this was the genesis of Coaster Chat, was when Avery and I came on LWI and talked coasters.
That's right,
yeah,
that was the beginning. You birthed us in a way,
yeah, we've come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember on that episode, PW, you mentioned that you had been on one roller coaster at Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah.
And after 2 years of thinking about this, I think I'm ready to reveal, I believe I know what coaster you were on.
Okay.
I think you were on Pegasus at Mount Olympus Park in the Wisconsin Dells.
Correct. It's a wooden coaster, I know, and that sounds correct to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to say
it is actually
asked with 100% certainty. Yes, that is the one I wrote
yeah.
on.
It's notable because despite being a mild wooden coaster, it has a very jarring break before you enter back into the station. And that break seems to me, based on the jolts that I've seen in videos people take when it breaks, it looks like it exerts a negative forward G-force equivalent to a launch of like 100 miles per hour, despite being a family ride, which is a very fun quirk that you don't get in modern kinds of rides where it like could snap a child's neck. That's cool.
Another coaster that might qualify, because I know I've been to, when I was a kid, it was at Little America and like rural.
I know Little America. Kaka.
Yeah.
Because isn't it spelled sort of like that or something? It's like
spelled, it's because the guy's name who owned it was like Merrick was his last name.
Okay.
Merrick.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, Little America.
It's totally retarded because no one understands the genesis.
Yeah. Nobody gets that.
No one gets that.
Yeah, they have a Swiss toboggan ride there, which is a dying breed of coaster. I believe it's the only one in the United States.
That's one that goes in a circle, right?
It goes like, yeah, like up a tower, and then you like loop around in like a circle down the tower.
I'm gonna go ahead. I rode that.
Wow, that's a unique credit. Like
9-year-old
Fousey's. There are legitimately like America. People like go, they go there to ride it.
It's a
niche one, but it's sort of a famous ride. Like that's a cool credit to have as one of your two credits.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like a good like start to your coaster career. Like yeah. Like, you got
two, yeah. Yeah.
You got amazing starts right there. You can build
two. Two is more than zero.
Like 17. So at that point, I could have still had a good coaster career, but now it's too late.
Yeah, it's probably over. But you had a promising start. You're like one of those guys who was like good at baseball in high school and got drafted, but then never actually played.
Yeah, I've wasted my prod coaster riding years.
Hopefully that doesn't happen to any of us.
Yeah.
I want to be riding coasters well into my prime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want, I think for my funeral, what they should do is they should build a coaster that drops my coffin into the grave. Yeah. So that I can go on one last ride. Everybody just horrified as like the coffin smashes into a bunch of pieces.
Yeah. The oldest person to ever ride a coaster.
Yeah, I don't know what that record is, but I intend to break it.
That's a good Guinness World Record right there. Oldest person to ride a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a record that's up for grabs.
Twitter that was like a 102-year-old woman like sledding down a hill. You see that one?
Okay. I didn't, but that's basically
look
there
it up right now.
Sledding is almost a coaster.
Yeah, sledding is a winter coaster.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It counts.
It's gravity driven. There's no track, but if there was a track, it would fully qualify.
I tell you one thing I did as a kid, and that was do a lot of sledding at the gully. So add that to my coaster credits. Yeah.
Okay, sledding. Yeah, credit number three, going on a sled.
Yeah. Most things can be coasters if you like think about it.
If you have a very expansive definition,
Yeah, we have an expansive definition of coasters.
Like pushing the cart at the grocery store, that's a coaster.
That's a coaster, yeah.
If it goes downhill, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all right. If there's like sloped aisles at the corner door.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Like an obstacle course / grocery store.
Yeah.
It's like it's sloped, but you have to twist and turn and stuff. It's kind of like riding a coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You have to avoid certain...
the groceries coaster.
Groceries coaster. That's a winner.
Someone's on the book.
It's like, what was that show? It was Grocery Sweepstakes or something. It was like people running out of grocery stores. Guys Grocery Games, yeah. They make that. Yeah. You'll take IP of that, make it into a coaster.
Are there any places open where you can ride like one of those mining cars?
There are places where you can ride a mining elevator, I think. So you got that. There's many mine themed coasters, but yeah. they had one actually at what is it? I forget the name of the park. There's a park in Longwood Caverns, I think, in Colorado. It's like a real old mine shaft that they have a drop ride in. Okay. But I believe it was closed after it killed a child, and that's why I know about it. Okay. So I can't recommend that in good conscience, and I'm not sure it's still open. But there was sort of something that I guess they tried it and it killed a kid, so that's why they don't do it. I don't know.
Cross that one off.
That's what progress is built on, the skulls of children.
Indeed it is. Oh man.
That's a Six Flag Bono.
Yeah.
Progress is built on the skulls of children. We've made a few changes around here.
They don't let press on there. Six Flags.
Mm-hmm.
Mert, did Action Park have any coasters?
No, but they did have, I guess it was like a precursor to the water coaster, which is, I would say, not a roller coaster fully, but which was like a water slide that you did on like a little sled thing that had jumps which seems sick as hell. And I believe that was operational until not too long ago. It was a frequent leg breaker, but I don't think it killed anyone. So.
Oh man, what was the one that like killed the like state representative from Kansas? Didn't it like cut his head?
Oh,
what happened?
It was this. It killed his son. Yeah, it was that Schlitterbahn in Kansas City. There was so basically it was like that. It was like a you go two people at a time on like a sort of like a raft almost. But there are like hills on it for jumps where you get like a little bit of airtime. But because he was on with, they rode three time with two fairly overweight women, they picked up too much momentum. And so they had this like netting and these bars above to ensure that nobody like fell out of the ride on the jumps. Uh-huh. But on the first jump, his head went above one of the like steel bars to keep the nets in place and just chopped his head clean off.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, he was like 8 years old. Very, very horrific accident for which the park paid $0 in compensation, by the way. They beat the case in court because the evidence that they tried to the prosecution tried to present evidence that based on the making of the ride, because it was featured on like Discovery's show where they talk about awesome water rides, and like they had like a fake meeting in the show where they talked about designing it, and they were like, the idea is that people will jump or whatever, and that was deemed inadmissible because it was not a real meeting, because it was a reality show, and sort of the case accidentally sort of set the precedent that things on reality TV cannot be used in as evidence in court, at least in the state of Kansas. So very interesting case. But yeah, Schlitterbahn got out okay. They deconstructed that ride, and they are still open to this day. If you want to go get your head chopped off,
that state representative, if he couldn't even get the judges to rule in his favor on that,
yeah, I don't think I'd vote for him. No clout.
Get it together,
Mister. Yeah, that's not a power player right there. If that were me, I would have made sure that people were hanged for that, because it's Kansas. They probably still hang people in Kansas.
Outside the stockades.
Put those Bavarian bastards who run Schlitterbahn to
hang them you have like a horse and you cut and you're pulling on a line and then you like
Hell yeah!
You spook the horse and he pulls the stool underneath him or something.
How about a coaster?
Best type of hanging.
Attached to a coaster, maybe. Impulse it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I love that. I love that idea. It's like a launch coaster, but it's pulled by a horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. Yeah, the horse, like, pulling the car and stuff.
That was,
Yeah.
Like in The Rifleman when they dragged him behind the horse.
It looked like that.
Yeah. That sounds like it would suck to get dragged behind a horse.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be bad. Horses used to just kill people all the time. They're beasts. Dangerous creatures.
They are.
No, we went to like the Civil War Museum here in LA, like the barracks of the US Army in LA during the Civil War. And they're talking about like they were trying to like import camels from Arabia to do like pack mules across the desert. And all the horses were afraid of the camels, and anytime they saw a camel, all the horses would just run away.
I hate it when I have to see an even-toed ungulate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they disgust me.
My favorite part of the story is that they just brought some, like, Turkish guy along with him, who was, like, not even trained in, like, how to, like, camel husband or whatever. He was just like,
he knows
he's like a Middle Eastern guy. He probably knows how to use camels,
and he knows all about camels,
although he did end up being the most successful with the camels, right? Because he I don't remember his full story, but it was interesting. Go to the museum in San Pedro.
I
like the idea of like obviously like I know, you know, in some minor way that like California was involved in the Civil War, but I like the idea of like a bunch of Union troops at the barracks just like smoking weed and being like, man, fucked up.
Because they had to like march across Arizona because Texas, like, Mexico, and so they invaded Arizona, and it was like you had to like march in the desert in the summer, so it sounded like it sucked actually.
Yeah, like once you get the barracks, it just turns into hell. Like,
yeah,
middle of the desert. in a war.
Like, not for me.
Yeah. Yeah, we would survive.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it out. I would just hang in the barracks when everyone leaves. Yeah.
It's like, oh, you guys... I'd agree to clean up in exchange for not having to do that.
he's in the cigar room playing the piano.
Yeah. Yeah. I was chilling with the other generals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh yeah, they're walking across the desert now, but
But I got to take all this trash out, and I got to sweep the whole place, and like, you know, I got to make sure nothing else happens here. Someone's got to watch the fort.
Like, I got so much to do before I have to start walking.
That was the other thing too. Yeah. Is that LA? They were all like crackers who hated the Union. They were like 70% pro Confederacy, so they did have to watch out for like LA people.
Yeah.
All those Dixie folk coming up from Orange County.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're that's just their undying loyalty to the Democrat Party.
Right. Through thick and thin.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was full time going there.
That sounds sick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, we went all over another... the place, man.
We did. Got to see a lot. Mm-hmm. Especially like parts that I haven't like seen in a while, the city. Like
we got to see Tom Cruise. He hung out with
us. Tom Cruise.
Oh, that's sick. That's sick.
Yeah, a ton of fun.
We went to Halal Guys with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Nice. What's his sauce situation? Does he do white and red sauce, or
he's going with the hot sauce? No white sauce.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'd expect from like you know, Mission Impossible. You know, the real Mission Impossible is putting 3 packets of red sauce on your Halal Guys and not like going to the hospital.
Yeah. But you know, Tom Cruise was a great host.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really,
you know, I expect that. Yeah.
Parts of the city that you know, tourists don't usually see.
Yeah. He's showing me parts I had no idea about. I was like, oh man. There forever. Tom Cruise knows more about the city than I do.
Well, yeah, he knows the real LA.
He does, yeah. Like, he's a lifer. He knows like all the real spots.
He's a foo.
He's a foo.
Exactly, Tom Cruise.
Yeah. He's a foo. You want in the corner.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise. Doing a sock check.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise wearing jean shorts down at his ankles.
Yeah.
Imagine if Tom Cruise had a fluffy Edgar.
Oh.
Then he'd really. Then he'd be like fully back. You know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think he would win an Academy Award again. You know, he's gonna win for Top because shows up with like a fluffy Edgar.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
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 People would love it.
It would change fashion. It would change film.
Mm-hmm.
I always love when Tom Cruise is just like, I love the movies. Thanks for coming out and supporting the movies, folks. Yeah. Like, make it all worth it. He's so good.
He's just like a consummate professional.
Yeah.
Maybe he's into coasters too.
Yeah. He's gonna guess.
I would believe that. I would believe that actually.
Some juice.
Yeah. Get us off the ground. Have Tom Cruise come on.
He's actually an executive producer.
He is, yeah. Breaking news, yeah, to all our listeners. He's been funding the project the whole time.
I imagine the Coaster Chat TV show has Mert in somewhat of a like Hamilton Morris role.
Uh huh. Okay.
Like Hamilton that. Morris, but for coasters.
It would be like.
I'll do it all.
Yeah. It's like a show you see on Vice or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even better because it's on better. HBO.
It's on HBO. Yeah. Exactly. It's not. HBO. Yeah.
The coaster of living your life as a Jew. Your bar mitzvah is like the peak right before. The Jew coaster is great. I love that. You could have the station be a sukkah. And then, yeah, I don't know, like, there are ups and downs, you know, it depends on the market, but, you know, life is, you generally end up having a great time if you're Jewish.
Mm-hmm. That's how it is. Anything else? Any other about LA? Like, weather's
been pretty rainy.
Pretty rainy, yeah. Pretty bad so far. But
the LA was not designed with drainage in mind.
No. That's a city meant for drought.
Yeah.
But we're making the most of it. We're having fun out
there. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We got one really good day. We went to Venice Beach, so it's pretty much perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I've ever been to LA was when I was 10 years old, and we went to Venice Beach, and I bought sunglasses with flames on the side of them. So Venice Beach gets a thumbs up in my book.
That was our souvenir from Venice, actually. We were just about to leave, and I was like, "Oh, I want to get like a Gatorade or something. I'm thirsty." So I stopped at this like store, and she was like, "You buy two Gatorades, I give you sunglasses."
Hell yeah.
Because I'm forgetting her actual ethnicity. I think she was Asian. But uh-huh. we got sunglasses, and we purchased two Kirkland brand sports drinks.
Okay. That's a pretty good deal.
It is, yeah.
And I love the sunglasses are perfect because they just, like, the plastic of them feels so cheap. The hinges.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's so much resistance to open and close. It's perfect.
Yeah.
They're like squeaky and need WD-40.
Mm-hmm. It's what you want to have, like boardwalk sunglasses, essentially.
Yeah, homeless guy sunglasses. Those are the best kind.
Mm-hmm.
Got kind of a sunburst tint to it.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I can hear him. That sounds like a nice crappy pair of sunglasses.
Yeah,
these noisy pair of sunglasses.
Hear that plastic when I rub it down. So. When I throw it against the wall, you can hear the low quality.
It's indestructible. This cheapest pair of sunglasses ever will never break.
Nope.
It will never happen.
Hey, they fit. They fit perfectly right over my glasses.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I look like Lou Reed. Wait, wrong part of the country. I look like who lives in LA?
Looks like Jim.
Yeah, who's a famous person that lives in LA? Tom Cruise.
Dwight Yoakam. We saw Dwight Yoakam's house.
Yeah. That was like a top 10 moment of the trip.
Yeah, that
so
was
far.
Definitely yeah, one of the highlights like, was seeing Dwight Yoakam. Dwight Yoakam has a sick 10. House with like a, he's got like a lighthouse that was kind of like tower thing that's like looking out over the city.
Mm-hmm.
That's sick.
Dwight Yoakam, he's caked up.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, he had a nice little spot out there. He was just had a little pair of binoculars or just like an old school like tele